Justice of the United States Supreme Court, a replacement for the great, great Justice Scalia. That will be probably within 2 weeks of the 20th. So within about 2 weeks, probably the second week, I consider the first day, because we'll also be doing some pretty good signings. And I think what we'll do is we'll wait till Monday. That will be our really first business day, as opposed to doing it on Friday, because on Friday people are going to have a very good time at the inauguration. And then Saturday, as you know, we're having a big church service and lots of good things are happening. So our first day, and you'll all be invited to the signings, but we'll be doing some pretty good signings on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then also the next week. And you're all invited. But on the Supreme Court, I'll be making that decision, and it'll be a decision which I very strongly believe in. I think it's one of the reasons I got elected. I think the people of this country did not want to see what was happening with the Supreme Court. So I think it was a very, very big decision as to why I was elected.
Mr. President-elect,
the tweet that you had this morning about are we living in Nazi Germany, what were you driving at there? What are you trying to tell them?
I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace. That information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up. And by the way, we just found out I was coming down. Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, I want to see your passport. He brings his passport to my office. I say, hey, wait a minute. He didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country. They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. Sure. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with. Michael Cohen.
Sir, since you're attacking us, can you give us a question?
Go ahead, Mr. President-elect.
Since you are attacking our news organization,
not you.
Can you give us a chance?
Your organization is terrible.
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization is terrible.
Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir,
quiet.
Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody? No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
Do you think President Obama went too far with the sanctions he put on Russia after the hacking? Do you think they're?
I don't say he went too far. No.
Will you roll them back?
No.
What do you think of Lindsey Graham?
I don't say.
Plans to send you a bill for tougher ones.
Plans to send me a bill for what?
For tougher sanctions.
I hadn't heard Lindsey Graham was going to do that. Lindsey Graham. I've been competing with him for a long time, and he's going to crack that 1% barrier one day. I didn't realize Lindsey Graham's still at it. It's all right. I think Lindsey Graham's a nice guy, actually. I've heard that he's a nice guy, and I've been hearing it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You've been waiting. Go ahead.
As far as we understand, the intelligence community...
Stand up, please.
Yeah, Ian Powell from BBC News. Panel from BBC News.
BBC News, it's another News. Beauty.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. As far as we understand it, the intelligence community are still looking at these allegations. It's false news, as you describe it. If they come back with any kind of conclusion that any of it stands up, that any of it is true, will you consider your position? Would you think
there's nothing they can come back with? Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Can you publish fake news and all the problems that we've seen throughout the media over the course of the election? What reforms do you recommend for this industry here?
Well, I don't recommend reforms. I recommend people that are that have some moral compass. You know, I've been hearing more and more about a thing called fake news, and they're talking about people that go and say all sorts of things. But I will tell you, some of the media outlets that I deal with are fake news, more so than anybody. I could name them, but I won't bother. But you have few sitting right in front of us. So they're very, very dishonest people. But I think it's just something we're going to have to live with. I guess the advantage I have is that I can speak back. when it happens to somebody that doesn't have this, doesn't have that kind of a megaphone, they can't speak back. It's a very sad thing. I've seen people destroyed. I've seen people absolutely destroyed. And I think it's very unfair. So all I can ask for is honest reporters. Yes.
Very clear about what you're saying. Do you trust your U.S. intelligence officials? And what do you say to foreign policy experts who say you're actually weakening national security by waging this war of words against that community?
Intelligence agencies are vital and very, very important. We are going to be putting in, as you know, Mr. Pompeo and others, you know the senator, Dan Coats, we're going to be putting in some outstanding people. Within 90 days, they're going to be coming back to me with a major report on hacking. I want them to cover this situation. I also want them, however, to cover maybe most importantly, because we're hacked by everybody. You know, the United States, our government, out of a list of 17 in terms of industries, is the worst. It's number 17 in terms of protection. If you look at the retail industry, if you look at the banking industry, various industries, out of 17 industries, they put this in the category of an industry, the United States is last in terms of protecting, let's say, hacking defense. Like, we had a great hacking defense at the Republican National Committee. That's why we weren't hacked. By the way, we were told they were trying to hack us, but they weren't able to hack. And I think I get some credit because I told Reince, and Reince did a phenomenal job. But I said, I want strong hacking defense. The Democratic National Committee didn't do that. Maybe that's why the country runs so badly that way. But I will tell you, wait, let me finish. Within 90 days, we will be coming up with a major report on hacking defense. How do we stop this new phenomena, fairly new phenomena? Because the United States is hacked by everybody. That includes Russia, and China, and everybody. Okay.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, you said just now that you believe that Russia indeed was responsible for the hacking of the DNC and John Podesta's emails, etc.
Well, Russia, but you know what? Could have been others also.
But why did you spend weeks undermining the U.S. intelligence community before simply getting the facts and then making a public statement?
Well, I think it's pretty sad when intelligence reports get leaked out to the press. I think it's pretty sad. First of all, it's illegal. You know, these are classified and certified meetings and reports. And I'll tell you what does happen. I have many meetings with intelligence, and every time I meet, people are reading about it. Somebody's leaking it out. So then I said, maybe it's my office, because I have a lot of people, a lot of great people. Maybe it's them. And what I did is I said, I won't tell anybody. I'm going to have a meeting, and I won't tell anybody about my meeting with intelligence. And what happened is I had my meeting. Nobody knew, not even Rona, my executive assistant for years. She didn't know. I didn't tell her. Nobody knew. The meeting was had. The meeting was over. They left. And immediately, the word got out that I had a meeting. So I don't want that. It's very unfair to the country. It's very unfair to our country what's happened. That report should have never, first of all, it shouldn't have been printed because it's not worth the paper it's written on. And I thank the New York Times for saying that. I thank a lot of different people for saying that. But I will tell you, that should never, ever happen. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President-elect. Can you stand here today once and for all and say that no one connected to you or your campaign had any contact with Russia leading up to or during the presidential campaign? And if you indeed do believe that Russia was behind the hacking, what is your message to Vladimir Putin right now?
He shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it. Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I'm leading it than when other people have led it. You will see that. Russia will respect our country more. He shouldn't have done it. I don't believe he'll be doing it more. Now, we have to work something out, but it's not just Russia. Take a look at what's happened. You don't report it the same way. 22 million accounts were hacked in this country by China. And that's because we have no defense. That's because we're run by people that don't know what they're doing. Russia will have far greater respect for our country when I'm leading it. And I believe, and I hope, maybe it won't happen, it's possible, but I won't be given a little reset button like Hillary. Here, press this piece of plastic. Guy looked at her like, what is she doing? There's no reset button. We're either going to get along or we're not. I hope we get along, but if we don't, that's possible too. But Russia and other countries, including China, which has taken total advantage of us economically, totally advantage of us in the South China Sea by building their massive fortress, total. Russia, China, Japan, Mexico, all countries will respect us far more than they do under past administrations.
That's my first question.
I want to thank everybody. So this is all, just so you understand, these papers, because I'm not sure that was explained properly, but these papers are all just a piece of the many, many companies that are being put into trust to be run by my two sons. And I hope at the end of 8 years, I'll come back and I'll say, oh, you did a good job. Otherwise, if they do a bad job, I'll say, you're fired.
Sir,
goodbye,
sir,
everybody.
You did not answer, sir, you did not answer whether any of your associates were in contact with the Russians. Sir, you did not answer.
And with that, it appears that Donald Trump has ended his first news conference since winning the presidential election in November. He took the stage at about 11:19. He's now leaving it at about 12:16, so just about an hour there. Of course, not all that time was taken up by Mr. Trump. There was a rather lengthy statement that was read by Sherry Dillon, who is one of Mr. Trump's attorneys. She read a long statement regarding his transfer of business and other interests. Jim Malone, VOA senior national correspondent, is joining us here in Studio 22. Live coverage again of Mr. Donald Trump's, the president-elect's, first news conference, and we'll be hearing from our correspondents in New York in just a moment. Jim, I have lots of notes here of what was said in this news conference, but apart from the fact that he nominated He nominated David Shulkin, who was Undersecretary of Health at VA, to be his VA secretary. I'm struggling to find anything new. I mean, this was reminiscent to me of the speeches he made on the campaign trail.
Right. I mean, my first impression is, the next 4 years, at least, are going to be quite interesting, because that was, at times, a quite chaotic news conference, even if you will, and we can talk a little bit about what we're referring to there.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we saw pretty much the Donald Trump we saw during the campaign in terms of style, mm-hmm. how he addressed the media. I would say that in terms of what are the news bulletins, what are the news points, bullets out of this thing.
Right. What are the tweets that we'll be reading
in
10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we're still focused, I think, on the intel situation.
Mm-hmm.
What does he think of the reports out there about whatever Russia may have on him? Well, he was pretty specific that he thinks it was a disgrace that that information got out. And he was pretty critical of the intel agencies writ large.
At several points.
Yes, in terms of the information that's out there. And we should say right at the top, I think that the lead will probably be his denunciation of the whole thing as fake news. Throughout, basically, you know, not giving any credence to the report, though I will say at the very end,
mm-hmm.
They tried to pin him down on whether there have been any contacts between his campaign and Russia during the campaign, and we never got to that answer.
Let's see if we can bring just a little bit of clarity to this. This was obviously a topic, the elephant in the room, if you will. This issue of an alleged dossier or file that was compiled perhaps allegedly by Russian intelligence, and that may have been transferred to a former MI6 agent, that's the British Intelligence Service, through a variety of channels, perhaps also including Senator John McCain, who may have hand-delivered some of that material to James Comey, the FBI director. What specifically we're talking about here, several news organizations are reporting on a sort of addendum on this file that allegedly had personal information, embarrassing information, salacious information about Donald Trump. Two news organizations published that report. We have been reporting on those reports, but we, VOA, have not been able, as other news organizations have not been able, to independently corroborate or verify any of the allegations in there. So the information, if you want even want to call it that, is pretty dicey. But that's obviously what everybody was focused on. Does, in effect, Russia have something on Donald Trump, and perhaps might they use it to try and blackmail him? Mr. Trump seemed unequivocal in his denunciation of that.
Yes, and I think the other thing that we need to say about this is that it's likely that this is not going to make the whole thing go away, because there's still a central issue here in terms of what the intelligence agencies have concluded about the efforts of Russia to hack in, to meddle with the election, whether they were doing it in favor of one candidate or the other. Their conclusion, they being the intelligence agencies again in, as a group, was that Putin was behind it, that he was intending to help Trump. Now, Trump did go a little further today in saying he basically accepted that, yes, Russia was involved in that effort, but he's always quick to point out that others are trying to hack us, including China, and then unnamed others that he won't go into.
Exactly. I'm looking here through. Ramon Taylor will be joining us in just a few moments from Trump Tower, where Mr. Trump was just speaking. I'm going through some of the questions that he was asked about. He was asked about what happens to Obamacare.
Yes.
He said this. You're going to be, quote, you're going to be very, very proud of what we put forward on health care. We don't want to own it. The easiest thing would be to let it implode in 2017. When asked about specifics, he had none. He said, we're going to repeal and replace, and it's going to be so beautiful. I'm not sure what
that means. News there, though, is that because there's this discussion in Congress, what do they do about Obamacare? Do they just undo it, and then it'll take some time to produce an alternative because Republicans aren't unified on an alternative?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he's saying is they're going to pretty quickly come up with what he calls repeal and replace. They're going to not just undo Obamacare right away. They are then going to come up with a plan. Well, that's going to be a heavy lift. Can I say one other thing, though?
Of course.
One thing we should touch on. There was section of the news conference that was devoted to how he will distance himself from his personal business dealings. Frankly, I was able to follow some of it, but some of the nuances may have been lost on me. What seems to be the trend there is that they've announced that Trump's sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, will be running the company. But they'll be taking that out of Trump's interest. They'll be removing any potential of conflict of interest that way. They are not going the full range, though, where you would divest yourself of everything, sell everything off, and then put the proceeds into a blind trust. They're kind of doing a halfway measure. And in fact, one interesting thing I thought of, they said they're not going to have any foreign deals with the company go forward, but domestic deals could. And I have a feeling this could be a point of contention moving forward, because people are going to want to know that there's a shelter there from any conflict of interest movement. Yeah,
absolutely. Sherry Dillon, his attorney, who spoke for about 10 or 15 minutes reading from a lengthy statement, she said that Mr. Trump will relinquish leadership of the Trump Organization to Don and Eric, his sons. An ethics advisor will be appointed to the Trump Organization. Ivanka Trump and her husband will have no further role. Mr. Trump will shortly limit his information rights and access. So clearly they're making the case that Mr. Trump is doing what he should do, or what he's legally required to do. But it was interesting also, before she addressed that and before they got into discussion of the Emoluments Clause, which is a whole other legal matter, Mr. Trump was saying that, let's see if we have it right here. He says he has no dealings with Russia. He will have no dealings with Russia, but he could if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And he could have dealings with other nations, if other, you know, entities in other nations, if he wanted to, because as he said, he's been advised that the president can have no, he says, there's no conflict deal. I think he means there's no conflict of interest provisions. If you're president, I think that might, I think you might find attorneys who will argue.
Well, there's that, and there's also just the historical tradition that presidents have taken steps to distance themselves. So that we should keep in mind. I think they went, they want to build this up to say, we could do this if we wanted to. Legally, we think we're protected, mm-hmm. but we're not going to do it. One more bit of news bulletin yes. would be on the wall with Mexico.
Yes,
he did get
it's
into
not
that.
Offense.
Right? He wants to go ahead with that immediately, and this, of course, creates the issue of who's going to pay for it, which is, all along he continues to say it'll be Mexico, and now he's saying that could happen in different ways in terms of reimbursements or taxes of some kind or, you know, mm-hmm. some sort of tariffs. But in anyway, he is going ahead, and he's still insisting that eventually, somehow, Mexico will pay. So we have a bit of news here with Obamacare, with the wall, with the intelligence reports, and of course the also the other commitment here, warning to American companies on moving out of the country.
That exactly, and within 2 to 3 weeks he'll be naming a Supreme Court justice
Correct.
Nominee. We'll see about that.
That's right.
VOA reporter Ramon Taylor joins us now by phone from Trump Tower. Ramon, I think the way that Jim had described the news conference, he said it was unusual. He may have, I think you even used the word, he said at times, messy. You were there in the news conference. It did seem to be a rather messy event.
It was messy, and it was something that I think got messier as time went on, and that's when the reporters' questions got louder. Trump got a little testier, and you could see the exchange really just build up throughout. From the point that that he denied a reporter a question, and we have a couple sources telling me that that is Jim Acosta, things really went down from hill from there, and we could see the press conference sort of tail off, and he pretty soon after, about an hour and 15 after the beginning of the conference, called it quits.
Yeah, Jim Acosta, the national security correspondent for CNN. CNN, one of the two news organizations that went and published some of those allegations that Mr. Trump is clearly very, very unhappy about. There was another messy scene when the I think it was the lead correspondent for BuzzFeed, the chief investigative reporter, although I don't know that was specifically him, was trying to get a question in after Mr. Trump maligned BuzzFeed, calling it very disgraceful trash, run by, quote, sick people. And that led to, I've rarely seen this with the president before, kind of a shouting match.
It was kind of a shouting match. And you could actually, you could audibly hear gasps throughout the room among different journalists. And mind you, these are journalists that have heard basically everything on the campaign trail and up through Trump becoming a president-elect at this point. So it was really, you know, it's something to hear journalists still shocked at something. And that kind of exchange, I think, shocked reporters because they're wondering, you know, first press conference in so many months, is this what we're going to see in a Trump presidency if we see more press conferences?
And finally for you, Ramon, Mr. Trump did not appear. I think we answered our question, which Mr. Trump will show up at this news conference. At the mention of many news organizations, he seemed to roll his eyes and sigh and express, you know, levels of just unhappiness. This seems to be setting up a pattern that the Trump administration is not going to have warm relations with the press.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the very beginning, we thought maybe we might see the more composed Trump, and that's because he came out by jovially sort of complimenting the press, you know, and there's an asterisk there saying, even those that have treated me badly, that have treated me unfairly, but things really took a turn from there. And so what we saw was instead of this composure, we saw a calm but somewhat sarcastic Trump turn into eventually just a very irritated one, similar to, I would say, the written equivalent of what we saw in his tweets early this morning.
Jim Malone, just a minute left. Yes. My takeaway, I don't know if this is correct or not, but my takeaway is that Donald Trump has not yet left campaign mode. What is your takeaway?
Yes. Listen, I think we got some substance from this news conference today, but I think the big takeaway is the stylistic presence of Donald Trump. No surprise, given what he did on the campaign, combativeness at times more demure. But I'm assuming that this is the template moving forward, so maybe everybody needs to buckle up a little.
Well, we will see the months ahead. We'll certainly tell tale to that. This has been special live coverage from Voice of America, Donald Trump's first presidential or first news conference as president-elect since winning the election back in November. I want to thank VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone, VOA reporter Ramon Taylor on scene in New York. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington, and we now return you to regular VOA programming at this hour.